All right, we're teaching on the subject of manifesting a son of God, and we're in this last area we call vengeance and recompense. And matter of fact, this is part 29 of volume 2. So we've come quite a distance here, but I'm just doing some trimming work now. And we've done the main course, but we're making sure now that we make sure that everything that we talked about, you understand it. Because like I said, understanding this topic will create a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. So we want to go into this vengeance and recompense. We're finishing it up. And let's see what we have for us today. I'll start reading at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of God. In other words, the earth is groaning under a curse. And it's waiting for the Son of God to be made manifest. Now, let me just say something first about revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that comes by the Spirit. It's knowledge that comes directly from God to you. You are a spirit. So it comes directly from God to you. And through your will and your receiving, your acceptance, that word then is, by the agency of the Holy Spirit, revealed to your mind. Okay. That's the revelation part. Your soul grabs a hold of it. And like I shared with you before, whatever's revealed to you shall be restored to you. And realize that man, because of Adam's sin, man fell. Matter of fact, he's still fallen. And what happens is Jesus came to save mankind, and when he came to save mankind, he made it now so that we could come back to where we were before. And where Adam was before is that Adam was a spirit having a natural experience. So he was a spirit. He was not natural. He was not physical man. Physical part of him was his house. But he was not that. That was the way that he could experience this physical world. But he would produce things out of his spirit. And I just came from a conference. They were talking about transformation, and talking about Newark, New Jersey, and how it got transformed, and how they sent out prayer teams. And they just walked into different neighborhoods, and they had assigned blocks and so forth and so on. I picked it up because I want to bring some of that back here. But they walked into ruined places and just begin to bless, speak blessing. Now, I understand that's no different from God when he said, let there be light to a ruined place. And light was. So you're made in his image and his likeness, just like him. And sometimes we do a lot, you know, we think we got to do a lot or add a lot or be something that we're not already. I think one of the greatest deceptions of the devil is to make you think you're missing something. And when I say that, I mean a believer. Because if you get an acorn, what's in that acorn? Everything. The trees, branches, leaves, everything. It's all in there. The Bible says you are his workmanship. He loaded it in. And what you do with work is you work it out. You work it out. Your gift and your calling, the Bible says in Romans 11, are without repentance. You can't take them back. No one is born in the earth without a calling. Everybody has a gift. And somebody wants to be a plumber. Somebody wants to be a physician. Somebody wants to be a whatever. Because that's a calling. And your grace comes with your calling. One man said, because the reason why a lot of people are dying in the world is because a whole lot of people just doing what they want to do. They're not following their calling. So lives are being lost. So anyway, Revelation, which is I'm sharing with you now, is key for you to go where I'm asking you to go. Because I shared with you at the beginning, this is a grown folks message. Now, when I say grown folk, I don't mean chronologically, because you can get a child to pick it up. But it's a message that you got to leave this place of the flesh and be willing to go with God into the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. They are the sons of God. Sons doesn't mean gender there. It means mature offspring in the Greek. So it takes a mature person to get this and make it work for them. Because other than that, it's flesh getting involved, and once flesh gets involved, self gets involved. It's all about me. Me, myself, and I. So it's not about you. It's about him. It's about you glorifying him. That's what it's all about. Okay? So you can walk in those neighborhoods and they just bless it. It's blessing. Bless the house. Bless this house. Well, maybe somebody from another religion is standing in that house. Bless the house. Because if you can bless, it will remove the veil that's causing them not to receive. Sure. Waitress comes, waiter comes to wait on you. Bless them. They might fall right down on their knees right there, want to be saved. Because you remove the influence of the enemy. So my point to you is that revelation knowledge comes as I preach this, God's speaking to you. And as he's speaking to you, he can talk to you while I'm still talking and not interrupt me. Got it? But this Bible is a coded book. You just can't read it and do it. Okay, you can read and do it by the flesh, but you can't go very far. Because it wasn't meant, this is not a fleshly book. This is alive. The Word of God is quick. That means alive. The Bible says it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So when I'm giving it to you, I'm giving it to you based upon what I'm saying, but the Holy Spirit's going to be teaching you something while I'm teaching you. Are you following what I'm saying? And you're going to fall right into some things and get more out of it than what a person who does not have or not born again would get out of it. Okay. All right. Let's move into this thing. So what I said was that the kingdom of God is the most important message to the human race. The kingdom is. And when you're talking about the kingdom of God, the Bible says in Romans that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So it's something that is going to be operating basically on a different level. Kingdom of God includes the church, includes angels, includes the earth itself. This is the kingdom. Now, what traditionally has been preached has been isms. The denominational ism. So I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a whatever. Got it? Now, so we've defined the church in that way. But now Jesus is coming in, bringing the light. And what I said is before he came in, Satan was the prince of darkness. Darkness doesn't mean just dark. It means ignorance. It means knowledge without God. And the Babylonian system is a system that has as its primary objective to create a society independent of God. Let us make a name for ourselves. Uh-huh. That's what it says in Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel. Babel having to do with confusion. Babylon having to do with confusion. Okay. Now, Jesus came as a light. And light is a characteristic, one of the characteristics of this new kingdom. Along with love, along with faith, along with integrity, along with holiness, along with all the other honesty, all the other things. This is light. And those attributes are more powerful than hatred, jealousy, and all those kind of things. And the tendency is to think that if I love somebody, despite the fact that they hate me, that the hate is going to be stronger than the love. And that's not true. Darkness is not stronger than light, folks. So that's what you and I have to grow up to walk in, because when people persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, the Bible says, rejoice. Now you say, now how in the world am I? You can't do it with self. Are you with me? All right, now I want to get somewhere with that. So this kingdom of God, the vengeance and recompense is what we got to. And vengeance is vital, or justice is vital to kingdom manifestation. Because remember what Jesus said, pray this way, thy what? Kingdom come, thy what? Will be done where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. So we're, everywhere we go, we're to bring heaven to earth. Everywhere we go, bring heaven to earth. Everywhere we go, bring heaven to earth. Poverty is in the earth, bring a little prosperity. Sickness is in the earth, heal the sick. Are you following what I'm saying? Because you're gonna make this place like that place. Because ultimately, in the end, that throne is coming down here. That you're not going to live in heaven forever, folks. You read the Bible. You're coming back down here on earth. Earth is going to be renovated. I mean, don't unpack everything, because he's coming down here. Okay. Now, let's deal with this now, because it's very important. Now, we've got to manifest a kingdom. And part of that kingdom manifestation is justice. Justice. And what we found out is that righteousness, which is a part of the kingdom manifestation, and justice is the habitation of his throne. Now, just if you would, just put that scripture up there, please. Psalm 97. And I think it's verse 2, please. All right. If you look at this, clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. What does the word judgment translate to? Justice, okay? Many times in the Bible where you see judgment, just look at another translation, it'll tell you justice, all right? So that's a habitation. But what does the word habitation mean? It means foundation. So justice is a part of the foundation of the throne of God. So now we need to find out how important that is to God. How important is justice to God? Okay. Now we found out, we first went over and we read over in Isaiah that Isaiah 61, we won't go there. I tell you what, let's go to Luke chapter 4 first. And over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus took the book and he stood up for to read. He said, this verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, what scripture? The scripture you just read. This scripture. Not anything else. This scripture. But if I go over to Isaiah 61, if you will, and Isaiah 61, and I look at verse 1, then I look here, and it says here, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Keep going. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where Jesus closed the book. But look what was left. The day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Keep going. And to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Keep going. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. Understand, Jesus didn't do that now. He didn't build one orphanage, one building, one business, one nothing. Okay, keep going. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Keep going. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the minister of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Keep going. For your shame you shall have double. Keep going. For I, the Lord, love judgment, and I hate robbery for burnt offering. So he loves justice. God loves justice. Now let's see why. Going over to Ecclesiastes, please, and chapter 8. Put it on the board, verse 11. And look what it says here. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. What is he saying there? That if justice is not executed, then people think it's all right to do wrong. So now what we got to do is we got to clear this thing up here. Because everywhere you go, you're going to see if systems are out of line with the justice of heaven, your job is to bring it back in line. Are you with me? All right, let's go on down. Let's look at Psalm chapter 37, please. Psalm chapter 37. All right, in Psalm chapter 37, let's look here where it says, glory to God. I got it here somewhere. I showed it this morning. You should have it up there. Psalm chapter 37, look at verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment. There it is again, justice. And forsaketh not his who? Saints. They are what? Preserved, come on, forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be what? Cut off. Now, what is he saying here? He said, hey, wait a minute. I love my people. And I'm going to preserve them. And I love justice. So as you go somewhere and stand up against the injustices of the world, God says, I'll preserve you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You're not going in there by yourself. God is going in there with you. The presence of God is with you. Glory to God. All right, so let's say here, we're going into places. Now understand that the justice system of the earth, of the nations, is one of the main targets of demonic abuse. Do you remember I said that to you? All right, so here is people going, here are people going into those places, and they are going to obey God's word. Like I told you, I went to one nation, they said you can't spank your kids. Well, the pastor spanked his kid. And when he did, he got arrested. Yoo-hoo. All right. Now, interrogating him, interrogating his kids, so forth and so on. Now, he had listened to this teaching. And what we said to you, I'm just giving you all of it now because you need it. We took you to Proverbs chapter 24. Let's go over there, please. Proverbs chapter 24. I said that when you understand justice or the vengeance of the Lord, it will significantly create a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. Look what it said in verse 5. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. So knowledge is key for you having strength. Come on down, verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity when something's coming against you, it's because your strength is small. And what we said is that the quality of intake determines the strength of your output. That your ability to stand is based on your diet. When I say diet, I'm talking about your dose of the Word of God. So the truth is that the church's strength cannot be measured by human instruments. That the church is designed not to know one single limit. That the church is so powerful until things that you have seen all through the scriptures, you can come into the place of the church and it is more powerful than that. Lord have mercy. I mean, you think about what is done here. Remember when Jesus was going across on the boat with the disciples to the other side and something came up. What came up? A storm came up. Now, this was a killer storm. This is one of those things that was designed to kill you. Well, the disciples who was some of them were experienced fishermen, they saw it was no hope. They then woke up Jesus. And they said, don't you care that we're about to die? Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And immediately, not waiting on the storm to pass, immediately there was a great calm. Do you hear what I'm saying? Then he turned to them, the church, and say, why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? In other words, wait a minute, you didn't need to wake me up for this one. I said, you didn't need to wake me up for this one. So you can go right on through the Bible and see where Jesus cursed a tree and it dried up within 24 hours. If he did it, you can do it. You can see where Jesus stepped out on water and start walking on the water. Peter saw him and said, wait a minute, if that be you, tell me to come to you on the water, just like you did. Jesus said, well, come on. Peter got out of that boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wait, now you said, well, that was Jesus. Yeah, that's Jesus, but that's you. He came to show you what you can do, restoring you to the place you were at before Adam fell. Say amen to this. Now, I'm only saying that the church is designed. You just get this. The church is designed to not know one single limit. You just heard the people up here, the runners, confessing about they saw people running. The lady said she couldn't run three blocks or whatever it was. Couldn't run, huh? Couldn't walk
to the train.
She couldn't even walk to the train, let alone run 26 miles. But look what she did because of what was in her. I'm saying something's been packaged in you called potential. And potential is something that's hidden ability, but it doesn't come out unless a force is placed on it. Say amen to that. So I'm saying when God brings you into those places, he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. In other words, Satan has nothing in his arsenal that can come close to the power that you have resident inside of you to fix anything that's broke and restore anything that's lost. Here was a man named Lazarus at his gravesite, and they called Jesus. Now understand, Jesus said in John 14, the things that I do, shall you do too. I'm gonna say it again. The things that I do, you shall do them too. See, people say something, oh, that's the preacher. That's the, he can believe God for that. I got to believe God for my healing just like you do. I got to believe God for my money just like you do. What are you talking about? When I get this revelation, when I get these sermons, you know what I do? I believe God for them. I tell God, I said, Father, I need a revelation now. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to download it right now. Now, I'm doing all that by faith because I can't feel nothing, but I know it's there and I know it's mine. So I grab hold to it, claim it, name it, and bring it in. And once I do, I thank God for it. Now, it starts bubbling up in the days ahead. So the next thing I do when I come in here on next Sunday, I got another piece for you. Where did I get it from? I got it from heaven. Who deposited in me? The Holy Ghost. Who's going to reveal it to me? The Holy Ghost. So he's giving you things right, I mean, hot off the platter. This food is still hot, boy, I'm telling you. Now let me go back to this. So now, vengeance. What we have to understand is what vengeance means. And we said vengeance is not some hatred or some kind of emotional retaliation or something like that. But vengeance is that which proceeds out of the love of God for justice and is a necessity for punishing offenders. That's what it is. Okay? So it has nothing to do with hatred. That has nothing to do with that. It's something that comes out of the heart of God, and God is love. He comes right out. It's a necessity. Now, recompense, of course, is to repay something that's been done to you, then damages are charged. In other words, what has happened is God's people have gone up against things. Now, you just think about this now. He's sending you somewhere. As he sends you somewhere, something happens. Somehow, you are humiliated. Somehow, you are persecuted. Got it? I'm fast forwarding now because you're going to have to get this. But God loves justice. And he's not going to let the saints go through that without giving them justice. Because it is the very basis of his throne. Got it? Now understand, God is not on our side. We're on his side. He's too big to take sides. Okay? Now, so you get something coming against you. Now, when you get something coming against you, some affliction, let's say you get sick or something, whatever that is, it's unjust. Now, it's unjust because it wasn't invited. Got it? You didn't invite that in. That is something that was imposed and came in that was not invited and came into your life, came in your body, came in your circumstances, whatever have you. Now, you have a God of justice. Because if I go to the systems of that Babylonian world, most people are under its control. So I can't find a righteous judge. I can't find people that are going to give me a good verdict. Because somebody's on the take. Now listen, that may not be as prominent in this country, but you need to go to the nations. Got it? So right there, the system is unjust. You with me? So now I've got to go to another judge. Now I get to Luke chapter 18. Coming up there with me, please. Verse 1. And he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. Anybody have another translation of that, please? Can I hear? Anybody? Say it again. Give me what? Justice. Give me justice. Another translation says, give me justice. That's what it says. I think it's the NIV says, give me justice. Give me justice. She's crying out for it now. You got it? Keep going. And he went not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, so you know that's not anybody holy. I'll give you three guesses who that is, and the first two don't count. Yet because this woman, this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she worry me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Keep going. And shall not God avenge his what? Own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you, he will avenge them, come on, speedily. Stop right there. Got it? Now, you know I know, and I know that those court cases, the one thing about them is delays. They are stretched out from here to 2 years from now, and you paying lawyers and so forth. What is the enemy after? Draining the body of Christ. Draining. Listen, folks, I can show you a lot of ways he's just draining the body of Christ. That's why we started the bank. I don't want Babylon to make a dime off of me. Not one dime, because he's using it to build. Somebody's financing that media that's putting out pornography. Somebody's financing it, folks. The money's coming from somewhere. I don't want to be working for him. I'm working for the Lord. Now, you look at me strange if you want to, but Bill Winston's going to tell you the truth. Now, I'm not saying that all the dollars are going there, but I'm saying this, that the enemy has various ways of siphoning off the body of Christ, and that's why the body of Christ, in most cases, pretty much is broke. We got to take a few months to raise $500,000? There ought to be one person in the service that when I ask for $500,000, I got it, Reverend. Keep going with the word. One person. I'm telling you, folks, most of us can't miss 3 days at work. You don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. And I tell you why. It's because we have been saved, but we let him negotiate us out of our recompense. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Folks, I wasn't taught this when I was down in that church when I was a little kid down there in Alabama. They didn't teach me all this. But let me tell you something. God has a plan for us, and he wants us not only to be saved, but he wants us to get the damages paid for what Satan did against us in every situation. I was reading an article in one of the news magazines. A guy named Warren Buffett said this. He said, my first rule of life is don't lose. Then he said, my second rule in life is never forget the first rule. You know, don't lose. I think that's a good thing. God never loses. Don't lose. See, we have been saved, but still sick. We have been saved, but still broke. We have been saved, but no baptism in the water. Been saved, but no baptism in the Holy Ghost. Been saved, but still in debt. Been saved, but still families failing. Been saved, but business failing. Saved, but still single. Saved, but then not marriage going to hell. Saved, but still feeling condemned and guilty. Saved, but still struggling and depressed. Saved, but still failing an opportunity. Saved, but still full of fear. Saved, but still that got good. God, and saved, but still avoiding change. Saved, but still without justice. And I'm telling you right now, God wants you to have it all. When he delivered Israel out of Egypt, out of those 400 years of bondage, he then said this, you are coming out and you will not come out empty. In other words, your redemption is not complete without divine provision. God is making it so somebody's got to pay damages for whatever happened to you. Every time you get humiliated, somebody's got to pay. Every time you get accused falsely, somebody's got to pay. Every time you get hurt and sick, somebody's got to pay. All you have to do is look at the natural example. I showed you this last time. That 111 tragedy that happened in New York. Look at it. They're paying those families damages. 1.8 million a family, I think. But what are they doing? They can't recover the person that's lost, but they can make life for them a little better. And I'm telling you, they had a procedure by which they had to collect the damages. If they don't file for the damages, they don't get the damages. And I'm telling you, we didn't know we're supposed to be paid for the things that Satan did to us. They were unjust, and he's got to pay. Now, what I'm digging for is I'm digging for the procedures. I want to know where the application to fill out. I want to know who I have to come before. I got to know what words I got to say. I got to know what kind of faith I got to have, because I'm getting my stuff. Praise God. Now, this is your time. This is your time. Y'all got me spitting all over myself. If I spit on you, just wipe it in, because it's good stuff, boy. That stuff will heal you. It'll get your money in your pocket. Y'all all right? Thank you, baby. Okay, now. Shonda. Let me step back off of y'all. Now, I want you to see this, because this recompense is key for the church to finish the work that God has called us to do. And so what we've got to do is we got to find out how to get this. Because if we don't get it, the enemy is using it. He's funding his war against us. We got to strip him. Now, understand, you don't get mad at people. Because once you do that, you leave God's side and you go over on the side of the folks that are in the wrong place. So, what happened? Case in point. Now, understand, God is just. And because God is just, that the mind of God doesn't change. The way God thinks. He said, other people have saw my works, but you're going to know my ways. And that's key. Because knowing his ways means that over in Exodus, he said, hey, wait a minute. This will fall upon you and your children and so forth to the third and fourth generation. Well, wait a minute. Things can be passed down like that. Well, if that can be passed down, then my recompense can be passed down. And folks, that's what happened when they came out of Egypt. They got everything that their ancestors were supposed to have. It passed right on to the leader of that family, and they got it. And I'm telling you, we're going to prove that out, and we're going to call in our recompense, because God knows that you're owed something. It's been put up in escrow. The devil knows that God has kept track of what's happened to you and your family. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what background you are. You got some stuff that the devil has stolen, and you may as well get it now. And I'm telling you, we got to file a claim. Now, are y'all with me? Turn to Proverbs chapter 6 real quick.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. Man, I'm telling you. Is it all good? Man. I've been spitting on myself and carrying on. But I guess I needed healing. I receive it. I need the healing too. Glory to God. Now, remember what he did? Oh, boy. Okay, let me just take you up to this point. We're going to quit. I got 9 seconds. What did I tell you? 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 I'm going to flow out of here. That's where I'm going to flow. Okay. Now, if you're not in favor of justice for all that are oppressed, then you will find yourself on the wrong side of God. I don't care who you are. That's a very important statement. Now, because vengeance has not been preached, we have been victims. I am sure of it. That now you're going to start seeing justice preached all over the church. What did I tell you? Proverbs what? Proverbs 6, verse 30. You've had the scripture before. Let me give it to you. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his own soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold, and he shall give all the substance of his house. Now, God is a God of justice. Say he's a God of justice. And he's going to make the thief pay damages, but you got to file a claim. So now, once you do, the judge is going to administrate that claim and what happened to you. I remember a person preached here one time for our business conference. His name was Willie Gary. Talked about one time he went in, you know, he's got a nickname of the giant killer because he handles claims for people who've been unjustly treated, and he handles them, and usually they've been against big companies. But he gets God on his side. He does the prayer, he does everything that he needs, and so forth, and he's anointed to do what he does. You got what I'm saying? And so what happened is, we went to a city to try a case, but all the rooms in all the hotels have been bought up by the opposing whatever. And I know you can't look at people because they're not the ones who are over this. This is the devil that doesn't want to lose anybody. Are you following what I'm saying? So he gives a beautiful story about that, but he keeps God in the midst of his business. Now, that was a part of what he spoke about when he was here. In Proverbs chapter 8, look at where did I have you? 6:30. Okay, we talked about that. Let's go. We're talking about how important justice is to God. Turn to Psalm chapter 33, please. Psalm 33. Glory to God. Psalm 33. I didn't have a chance to go through all this with the other group, so you're getting a little bit of a bonus here. All right. Look at Psalm 33 and 5. Have you got it? He loveth righteousness and what? Judgment. What's another name for judgment? Justice. The earth is full of the what? Goodness of the Lord. So remember, justice is what keeps evil in check. Remember that. Justice is what keeps evil in check. Come on over to James again in James chapter 1, James chapter 5. We'll just finish up there. Okay? So we got a settlement coming. I said, you got a settlement coming. So the Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 6, God executeth righteousness and justice for all that are oppressed. all, everybody. Satan has been sitting on your destiny. You don't know it, but he has tried to keep that contract from you. He has tried to keep you from prospering and getting a promotion. He has tried to make you late for things so that you just miss your opportunity. He has tried to confuse your family, keep you distracted. He has tried to do, I'm telling you, you've been robbed and don't know it. But God has kept records of every place that Satan has deceived you, every injustice that you have been victim of. God, heaven has monitored it, and also our heaven is also, glory to God, the place that we gonna have to appeal to get our money, to get our damages, because we can't go to Satan's system. He's got the system all bogged down, trying to keep you all tied up in that system. But Lord, God will deliver you speedily. I'm saying we gonna get our stuff overnight. I mean, I'm looking for us to pray one day and receive the next day. I'm looking. Oh boy, I just got that. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I need some believers to do this. This is not for people who are not believers. This is not for people who are faint in their hearts. This is not for people who want to question whether the Bible is true. This is for people who are fed up with the way things are going. And they know that legally they have a right to some recompense. Are you with me? Verse 1. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Somebody say last days. Last days. We're in the last days right now. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. Now notice what he said. The hire crieth. The hire crieth. You know what I'm saying? He didn't say the people cry. He said the hire. The hire has to do with wages. The wages are crying. The wages are saying, I'm in the wrong hands. See, everything has a voice. Damn. Boy, y'all got to get some of this. And that wages are crying, saying, I'm in the wrong hands. Why? I'm in the hands of the wicked. I'm in the hands, wait a minute, and so forth and so on. So what happens now is the wages have cried, so God is hearing that. Watch this. And now he is saying, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. That means the Lord of all, or high ruler, El Elyon, the Lord who is over all. Those things, two things have to cry. One, the wages. Secondly, the people who've been defrauded. God needs two witnesses. Say two witnesses. Is this making sense to you? We have not been taking the spoils of the battle. We've just been released and think that's good enough. But it's not good enough. Satan still got your recompense in his hands. And what we need to do is get it. Now, I won't go any further, but I want to just tell you this. In Matthew chapter 18, y'all get something out of this here today. In Matthew chapter 18, you know what I got to do. I just got to preach and forget it. You know what I mean? I can't think about whether you got it or not, or whether you agree with this or not. Every time I do that, I go into a little bit of a, you know, the enemy tried to talk to me. I'm not even coming down there. If you got it, run with it. If you don't, just leave it. Praise God. Now let me show you this. Because in Matthew chapter 18, what happened? There was a man who owed this man a lot of money. It's about $10 million, I think it said in one translation. He went to him and said, "Hey, please, I don't have the money. Please don't put me in jail." He said, "I'll try to get it up." He said, "I tell you what, I'll forgive you the debt. Just go on." So he went on, but he went outside and found a man who owed him 10 bucks. He said, "Now pay me what you owe me." The guy said, "I don't have it right now. Give me a little time. I can get it up for you." He said, "I'm not giving you anything," and put him in jail. Then the word got back to the master there, the Lord, and he called the man back in. He said, "Wait a minute, what is this I hear? I forgave you a big debt. And now you got a small debt and you won't forgive him?" He said, "For that, I'm turning you over to the tormentors." And then it says, "Won't God do the same thing for anyone who won't forgive his neighbor?" Got what I'm saying? I'm saying God is not on your side. You're on his side. Now, his point was this, that Satan is a legalist. And he comes before God with a case, your case. And he, what does the Bible say in Revelation chapter 12? He is the accuser of the brethren. And how long does he accuse you? Day and night. Stays in God's face about what you're not doing. That's why the moment you mess up, say, "Lord, forgive me for that." Because if you confess it, God is faithful to forgive it and cleanse you right there. You don't even need to go another 3 seconds. Say amen to that. So my point to you is you got to stay on the right side, on the winning side. So keep your heart right and don't go into a thing mad. Just step back and say, "Well, you shouldn't have done that. Because God is on my side." Watch this. And the time they persecute you, now you go back to the judge, bring your case before him, and the judge awards you damages. Now it has to come out of Satan's group, and it has to come back out, and it's going to come to you. So go in there, persecute it again, then appeal to the judge, money comes out, comes back. They talk about you, humiliate you, go back to the judge, and every time you do that, you're going to get good at it pretty soon. Pretty soon, you are going to be too expensive to deal with. The devil is going to let you go because he cannot afford to deal with you. Say amen to that. And so when you come into a room, demons say, "Let her by, let her by, let her by. Don't mess with her. Don't get your hand off of her." Give the Lord a praise. We're going on with the kingdom of God. Now, I know some people, I don't know about all of that. Listen, you stay where you're at. When you see me flying by you, when you see me waving at you, when you see me going on the mission field all paid for and buying houses for people and so forth, when you see me, come on now, rebuilding orphanages, I'm talking about nice ones that got nice instructors in them and people who've got PhDs, and the place doesn't smell like some unclean thing, but smells like something downtown at the Ritzy Hotels. I'm talking about when you see me and I'm waving at you, and having a smile on my face when the mortgages are all falling into the ditch. When you see me, you'll say, that's a blessed man right there. That man must be getting his recompense. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of that? Now, what do we have to do? Now watch this. The Bible says you have to dig for the word as gold. You got to dig in there and get it. And let me tell you, I'm right down there. I'm about to hit a mother load. I'm right down there. Listen. I plan to come back next week and we're going to go through a prayer. And once I give you that prayer and what the process is, then I'm going to let you use it on everything that you feel that you should use it on. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I know this sounds too good to be true, but I'm a believer. I believe God's word. Folks, all you have to do is look at the mind of God and go over to the book of Genesis chapter 20. You'll see he did the same thing he did in Exodus in chapter when he gave them their recompense. You'll go over into time of Esther. You'll see they got recompense. If you go so forth and so on, how many times did he have to show it to you before you believe it? You see what I'm saying? Just show it to me one time. I'm a believer. But remember, the wages are already crying out. They're saying, I'm in the wrong hands.
Amen.
And folks, this wasn't preached when I was back there in that church, because it would have given me a whole new attitude about how to treat people. Because I was mad and going somewhere to fight. But now I'm going somewhere to love somebody. And as I love them, whatever. Amen. If you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. This is the time to do it. I want to pray with you right now, because the same Jesus that died on that cross at Calvary, he died for all humanity, and he died for your sins and mine.